Hello English Podcast, a podcast for EFL learners and teachers. Hello everyone, this is one more episode of the Follow English Podcast. Today is July 7th, 2015. It's a rainy Tuesday down here in the south of Brazil in Porto Alegre. My name is Marcos Gazana and this is episode 78 of the Follow English Podcast. Today I'm going to be speaking about the Common European Framework of Reference for Languages. This is a very important, guideline which is used in Europe and increasingly in different countries across the world. And so I'm going to be reading out some information I found on the Wikipedia page. You can just go to Wikipedia and look for a Common European Framework of Reference for Languages if you want to see in more detail what I'm reading out. And I'm going to make my own comments. And I'm going to go through the six levels and describe in more detail. I'm going to read some of some parts of the description we have here on the site, and I'm also going to make my own comments. So to get started, let me read some basic information about how the CEFR, or the Common European Framework of Reference for Languages, came to be. And so why it was implemented in Europe and when as well. So the Common European Framework of Reference for Languages, Learning, Teaching, Assessment, abbreviated as CEFR or simply CEF, C-E-F, is a guideline used to describe achievements of learners of foreign languages across Europe and increasingly in other countries. It was put together by the Council of Europe as the main part of the project Language Learning for European Citizenship between 1989 and 1996. Its main aim is to provide a method of learning, teaching, and assessing which applies to all languages in Europe. In November 2001, a European Union Council resolution recommended using the CEFR to set up systems of validation of language ability. The six reference levels are becoming widely accepted as the European standard for grading an individual's language proficiency. So as you can see here, the big problem in Europe was that they wanted to find a way to match, let's say, the levels of proficiency that people had in speakers of different languages had in different foreign languages. So they wanted to unify. This happened in the late 80s and up to the mid 90s. And nowadays, I think many countries around the world are using this. And in fact, I would like to make a quick comment about the beginning of my career. I remember that it still happens nowadays to a certain extent, let's say. But I remember that when I started teaching back in the mid-90s, this was a big problem because, different language courses, they offered different programs. And these programs, they brought you up to a certain level, different levels if you compared the different language schools. Why was that, or why is that? Because language courses, each program is completely different. Not to mention the fact that language learners are almost always have different paces in their learning process. So, of course, if you put a bunch of I don't know, 8-10 learners together in a classroom, and you teach them English for about 2 years, it's very naive to think that at the end of the 2 years they will be exactly at the same level. Why? Because people have different paces of learning. I mean, this is something normal and common. And also because people have different levels of commitment. Some people do a lot of homework, some people don't. Some people have a lot of contact with, some learners have a lot of contact with English outside the classroom. Some don't. Some have very busy lives and simply don't have time to study. So as time goes by, of course, there will be, they will achieve, they will end up achieving different levels of proficiency. Some will learn faster, some will take a long time to learn basic structures. They will keep making mistakes and so on and so forth. Some will acquire vocabulary very quickly, some won't. So I can assure you that it's almost impossible to put 8-10 people to study together for about 2-3 years and have them at the same level after this period. So this was one big problem in language courses. In language courses, at least here in Brazil, it's funny, but language courses tend not to fail students, because I think they believe that if you fail a student, the student will get the impression that he's not learning and will simply quit and look for another way of studying the language, or even simply give up studying English altogether. So it was very common to see groups of students who had very, different levels of proficiency in the same group. And this was a problem. And then the CEFR comes in to give you a more accurate picture of each learner's proficiency level. So I think this was a big breakthrough. And I use the CEFR at least, I don't necessarily tell each one of my students where they are, because sometimes they don't want to bother and they just want to keep having their conversation classes or whatnot. But I think it's a good idea to show them, to show some of the students who are more interested in these levels, let's say, because then they can become even more motivated to move on and to improve their proficiency, or to grow in their proficiency, levels of proficiency. So let me move on. Let me talk a little bit about each of the six levels. The levels are A1, A2, and A1 and A2 account for the basic user. Then B1 and B2, these are related to independent user, to the independent user. And then C1 and C2, and these are account for the descriptions of proficient users. So starting from the basic user, so A1 can be, if I break down A into A1 and A2, I could then say that A1 is also described as breakthrough or beginner, and these are learner who can understand only everyday expressions and very familiar. They can only communicate when they are talking about very, they're speaking about familiar topics. And of course they can introduce themselves and others and can ask and answer basic questions related to personal details, like where do you live, where do you come from, and what do you do, like basic information, you know. And they can also interact in a simple way, provided the other person talks slowly and clearly is prepared to help. So they, A1, they may be able to have conversations with native speakers of English, but they will certainly need assistance, and they won't be able to talk about more abstract and unfamiliar topics, more technical stuff and things like that. A2, way stage, also called the level name would be way stage, or elementary, or elementary if you prefer American English pronunciation, can understand sentences and frequently used expressions related to areas of most immediate relevance, basic personal or and family information, like, oh, what does your sister do? Oh yes, does she live here? Does she live there? Do you like shopping? What do you like? Where do you go shopping? So basic things like that. Also, they can communicate in simple and routine tasks requiring a simple and direct exchange of information on familiar and routine matters. And they can also describe in simple terms aspects of their background, immediate environment, and matters in areas of immediate need. So this is A2, the basic user, A1 and A2. Moving on, then we move on to B1. B1, the level is also called threshold or intermediate. And let's say threshold because here, for the first time, you can have people who are, or learners who are, becoming independent or are on their ways to become independent, on their way to become independent. They still have lots of they still make lots of little mistakes, you see, but they already have a command of the basic structures of the language. A reasonable command of the basic structures of the language. And in the case of B2, I would say they are already attempting some more complex structures. If you think about grammar and if you think about vocabulary, they are already attempting more sophisticated, to use more sophisticated vocabulary. So let me read some of the descriptions, that some of the short sentences that I have here in the description for B1 and B2. So B1, threshold or intermediate, can understand the main points of clear standard input on familiar matters regularly encountered in work, school, leisure, etc. Can deal with most situations likely to arise while traveling. So this is a good thing to remember here. So B1 learners, they are able to travel and to go shopping while traveling, to ask and answer, to ask basic information when they go to tourist information centers, you know, or when they are walking by near tourist attractions and they need information like directions and stuff like that. So they are able to, that's why the group of the B1 and B2 as a group, so the B group, is called independent user because of that. Yeah. So they can also produce simple connected text on topics that are familiar or of personal interest. And they can also describe experiences and events, dreams, hopes, and ambitions, and briefly give reasons and explanations for opinions and plans. So as you can see here, there is a move. There is a, it's a transition, let's say. The B1 is a transition from a stage in which you still require a lot of assistance if you want to communicate in a more, let's say, independently, to a point where you are already attempting more complex structures and sophisticated vocabulary which I would say is more of a B2, more of a characteristics of a B2 rather than a B1. So B2, also called Vantage or Upper Intermediate, they can understand the main ideas of complex text on both concrete and abstract topics. So for the first time, we see here the word abstract, including technical discussions in their field of specialization. So here, let's say if you are an engineer, you can, let's say, watch a short video about engineering, and you're good to go. You can understand the main points. Maybe you don't understand word by word and the details, the small details, but you can understand well, let's say, what the discussion is about or what the lecture is about if you think about a learner who is attending a lecture. They can also interact, they can also interact with a degree of fluency and spontaneity that makes regular interaction with native speakers quite possible without strain for either party. So as you can see here, this is independence. This is a B2. So B2 is where we finally reach a level where native speakers can interact with you or with learners without major problems. They can produce clear, detailed text on a wide range of subjects and explain a viewpoint on a topical issue, giving the advantages and disadvantages of various options. So a B2 finally becomes fully independent, I don't want to say fully here, but becomes independent and can interact with native speakers of English. Then moving on to the last two levels, C1 and C2. So the C1 and C2, they describe the proficient user. C1 is also called effective operational proficiency or advanced. So effective operational proficiency or advanced. So these people here in C1 level, they can finally express ideas fluently and spontaneously without much obvious searching for expressions. They can speak freely, let's say fluently. They can understand a wide range of demanding longer texts and recognize implicit meaning. So implicit meaning, this is a big difference here between a C1, let's say, and a B1. Yeah, of course, the B2 would be struggling to get there, but so a big difference between a C1 and a B1. C1 learners can also use language flexibly and effectively for social, academic, and professional purposes. Flexibly here means flexibility, let's say, means being able to use a variety of vocabulary, or in other words, sophisticated vocabulary, and being able to adapt to social, academic, and professional purposes, or environments. So if you are at a party, you can speak more informally, you can understand jokes and stuff like that. And if you are at university, you can speak more seriously, and so on and so forth. Then the C2 description, mastery or proficiency, this is the top level. And C2 learners can understand with ease virtually everything heard or read. They can summarize information from different spoken and written sources, reconstructing arguments and accounts in a coherent presentation. And they can express themselves spontaneously, very fluently and precisely, differentiating finer shades of meaning, and even in the most complex situations. So C2 is what we also call native-like proficiency. So they're approaching the level of a native speaker. Of course, a C2 is not a native speaker. And foreign learners of a foreign language will never be a native speaker, but they can come very close to that. They certainly can. And this is it. I hope I gave you some good descriptions of what each level of language proficiency is. Either you can either adopt or adopt that if you are a language teacher, or if you are a learner, now I hope you can better understand what these levels mean. This is it. Before I finish, I would like to remind you that the webpage for this podcast is at pod.followenglish.com.br. There you can add your email to the email list and subscribe via email. In this case, you will get a notification by email every time there is a new podcast episode out there. You can also subscribe via iTunes or Stitcher or Podomatic or any other podcatcher you might be using to reach us. And you can keep sending your questions or suggestions to info@followenglish.com.br. In case you have any suggestions or if you would like me to talk about any language issue in the following episodes. Thank you so much. Keep listening and keep learning. See you next time. Bye.